Hello, thank you for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams. Today we are going to encounter the Lord through His Word as we look at a topic in dealing with obedience. Obedience is such an important topic, and I believe it's good for us to be reminded of the weight that He puts on our heart and our obedience to Him, the posture of our heart toward Him. And so I hope you join me today with your Bible, your notepad, as we go to God's Word and study what God requires of us as children and sons and daughters of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for every person that is a part of this podcast today. I thank You for just speaking to their spirits. I thank You, God, for quickening them. I thank You for stirring within them a hunger and a desire to be set apart to You, to live and to walk in purpose, in holiness, in sanctification, God. I thank You, Lord, for all the singles who are listening, Lord, that You would strengthen their union and their marriage to You, Lord, as their bridegroom, God. I thank You that You would set them apart even more as Your temple, as their bodies are the temple of Your Holy Spirit, God. I thank You for every married person that is on here, God, that as they submit to You, Lord, that You would just strengthen their marriage, that You would strengthen their life in You, Lord, that as they look to You as their source and as the author and finisher of their faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Today, I just really want to highlight obedience, and this is something that the Lord has just really been highlighting, the subject of obedience and how obedience really brings the manifestation of God's blessings in our lives. Obedience and our posture of our heart to obey and to walk after God's plans is really what brings the manifestation of God's protection, His favor, His riches, and everything. I love Proverbs, and I love to read it and study it every day. And one thing that I consistently see Solomon write throughout Proverbs is he talks about wisdom and how wisdom is the principal thing. And when you love her, when you embrace her, that you will find riches, honor, long life. You will find the favor of God. And we know that Jesus is seen throughout every single book of the Bible. And in Proverbs, Jesus is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. We know that when He came to earth, He came as the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. And so we see that when we love wisdom, who is Christ, then when we embrace wisdom, then we embrace the blessings, we embrace the purposes, we embrace the plan, we embrace the long life. And when we reject wisdom, when we walk away from wisdom, then we really are rejecting God. We are rejecting God's purpose. And you know, the Bible even says that, you know, when you reject God and down the road, your calamity comes upon you and the destruction because of your choices comes upon you. It says wisdom will actually laugh at your calamity. That's Proverbs 1 and 26. It says wisdom will laugh at your calamity and will mock when your terror comes. Why? Because wisdom was there all along at every checkpoint, every decision in your life to say, come this way, follow after this way, follow after me, follow after the way of blessing, follow after the way of life, follow after the way of obedience to God's principles and purposes. So you might say, well, that's pretty harsh that wisdom is going to laugh and mock when calamity comes. But the point is that wisdom was there all along tugging you and saying, come this way. Don't go after the way of the adulterous woman. Don't go after the way, you know, of the seductress. Don't go after the way of walking away and you know, immorality and walking against God's purposes. But walk in this way. And at those points, those who choose not to walk in wisdom, they mock at calamity, they mock at wisdom, and they laugh at wisdom, and they say, you know, why do I need to follow your way? So when the day of destruction comes, wisdom will mock at those who chose not to follow her and who chose not to embrace her. They mocked at her. They didn't take her counsel. as anything. They didn't take her rebuke as anything. They didn't take her advice and her direction as anything. That they disdained, it says, they disdained all of wisdom's counsel. And so I believe there's something so powerful to walking in God's wisdom, and that's just in walking the practical application of God's word in our lives, loving God's word above anything, desiring to walk in God's word, because in his word, in following after his instructions, it is our life. It is actually our long life, our extended life. The Bible talks about how, you know, gray hair is a crown of those who are godly, and how wisdom will bring, life, and will bring the riches, and will bring the blessings. And I believe this is something that we don't like to hear very often, because we want to make, you know, we want our lives to seem like it's okay. We can do whatever we want to do, but that's not true. There is a way, there is a path that we are to take, and God wants us to take that path according to his word. That is a narrow path, but it leads to life. There is a broad path. There is a path where we can do whatever we want to do, and that path leads to destruction. It leads to calamity. It leads to the destruction. And so we have to walk after God's ways. We have to walk after his purposes and find the life that we desire to have. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If is in the word of God hundreds and hundreds of times. If you are, then I will. If you are, then I will. If not everyone is willing, not everyone is obedient, but if you be willing, if you be obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And that willingness also comes with the obedience. Obedience to God's word, heeding his voice, submitting our lives, submitting everything that we are to the plan and to the purpose of God. And it goes on to say, but if you refuse, if you rebel, then you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Lord is not some tyrant that is in heaven just wanting us to obey him and do everything that he says, but he is our loving Father. And he desires to give us life and life more abundantly. But because he's holy, we can't have life outside of his way, outside of his principles, and outside of his plan. We have to have it within his parameter. And do you know his parameters are not burdensome? His parameters are not, they're not evil, they're not wicked, but they bring life to us. They bring hope. They bring peace into our lives. So I want to look at James chapter 4. I love the book of James. It's such a straightforward book. It's a very meaty book when it comes to the word of God. James holds no punches when dealing with holiness, when dealing with righteousness in our lives. And so James is actually the half-brother of Jesus. And so he had some amazing firsthand experience into the life of Christ. And I love just the way James speaks just so plainly according to the word of God. And I'll read James 4, verse 1 through 10. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. Number one, because you do not ask. And you ask, number two, and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend what you receive on your own pleasures. Again, that's not honoring God's kingdom, not honoring his word as priority in our life, but desiring to fulfill and to appease our own lust and our own pleasures. And verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. As children of God, Jesus is our bridegroom and we are his bride. And you know, there are several stages and levels of obedience. We have fear-based obedience, and we all can know that from as a child when we would do something wrong or we would do something that we weren't supposed to do and our parents would discipline us with the belt. And each time we would think about doing that, we would have a fear of the discipline. And so we would not do that thing so that we, you know, because we had the fear of our parents, that was a fear-based obedience. But as we grow, and this is even likened to our relationship with God, as we grow, we develop into a faith-based obedience where we obey, even if we don't, you know, may not see the result or the benefit immediately. We know within our spirit that by doing this and by obeying God's word, we are going to reap a benefit. We are going to keep ourselves out of harm's way. We are going to extend our lives. We're going to have access to the favor and to the blessings and to the riches and wealth that God has for us. But then there's a higher level of obedience. And that level of obedience isn't fear-based. It's not just faith-based where, you know, faith-based is we don't feel anything. We don't feel like, but we know by faith we're going to obey. But the third level and the highest level of obedience is that obedience that comes from an intimacy with God. And it comes out of a love relationship with him as our bridegroom. That we do it because, you know what? We love him more than anything, more than life itself. And our desire is not to be called adulterers and adulteresses, but to be called sons and daughters of God, to be called his bride as we are being prepared as a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that is God's desire, and that is my desire today to convey to you, is that as we obey God, as we love him, that what we do is not out of just fear or faith-based obedience, but it is out of a place of experience with him, that we know that we are going to obey him because our love for him is so strong, and our love for him has come from a love that he has first shown to us. We love him because he first loved us. And that's his desire, is that we would know how much he truly loves us, how much he truly has our best interest at hand, that he's not just a tyrant up in heaven that's trying to keep us from enjoying life, you know, quote unquote, or having fun, but that we would know that anything that we do that's outside of his word is not for our best interest. It comes from the enemy of our soul, Satan, who comes to kill and to steal and to destroy our lives. And so in James 4, he's talking about receiving from God and how, number one, some don't ask, but then when they do ask, they asked amiss. They asked out of God's will, out of his purpose, out of his wisdom, so that what they receive, they'll use it and spend it upon their own pleasures. And that is an adulterous and adulterer relationship. We're cheating on God. In other words, if we are in Christ, if we have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, then our lives are no longer our own. Our lives are no longer, we are not the owner of our lives. We can't just do whatever we want, when we want, how we want. We belong to him and we are his bride. And so when we have these things and these ideas where we're going to use things on our pleasures, we are really cheating up on our relationship with God. And he's saying that when we are cheating on our relationship with God, then we are becoming friends with the world. And that, at that point, makes us an enemy of God. If we are friends of this world, we become enemies with God. we become contenders against God, not his bride, not his ally, not his son, not his daughter, but enemies of God. And he says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, whoever desires to go after the worldly things, worldly mindsets, worldly ways of doing things, makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? God is our husband. He's our bridegroom. And he is a jealous God. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 and 7, talking about us as a bride of Christ and the beloved Christ speaking to us, he is desiring and saying to us today, to set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it out. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. And here God is saying and conveying to us as his bridegroom, as his bride, and him as our bridegroom, that his love is strong. His love for us is fierce. It is like the flames of fire. It cannot be quenched. It cannot be put out. It cannot be squelched. Many waters can't even quench it. When, you know, it can't overcome the love that God has for us. Floods can't drown it. If a man would give everything in his house, it would be small in comparison to the love that God has for us. And God wants us to know that today, not just with an idea or concept of knowing, but he wants us to know and experience the love that he has for us. Because when we realize how much he truly loves us, then we will respond in love, in devotion, in obedience to his heart and to the love that he has for us. We will respond as his bride to the bridegroom, to the lover of our soul. We will respond appropriately to his heart in devotion and in being set apart. And so God is saying to us today that the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. And verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. This is so important. When it says cleanse your hands in James 4 and 8, that's saying purify your actions. Purify your actions. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The heart represents the attitudes, the inner man. And God is saying, cleanse our actions, purify our attitudes, so that we would be more like him. Walk in obedience. Submit to God. Surrender. Collaborate with God instead of fighting with him, instead of contending with him. Just surrender and submit to his way so that you can collaborate with him. And it goes on to say, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Wow. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. As we humble ourselves, as we choose to submit and to collaborate with God in his sight, he will lift us up. He will elevate us. And so the Lord is just saying to us today that he wants us to know how much he loves us. And out of that love comes our obedience. Out of that love comes our devotion. They're the greatest commandment that we are given, that all of the laws and all of the prophets, that everything that they said and declared was summed up in one thing. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And he said, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we are to love God and we are to love others. The Ten Commandments. That's what it's about. The first portion is about loving God. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. And the next six commandments deal with our relationship with other people. But Jesus summed it up so simply. Just love God with everything. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. But we're only going to love God with everything when we realize that he gave everything to love us. He gave everything to, and he demonstrated everything to love us, to show he loves us. We love him because he first loved us. He gave everything. And today he is wanting for us to set him as a seal upon our heart. Let his love be that seal upon our heart. Let his love be the seal upon our arm, because his love is strong and is powerful. And the word says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate. I mean, it says nothing. Angels or demons, height or death, tribulations, Romans 8 says. Tribulations can't even separate us from the love of God. Distress cannot separate us from the love of God. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword cannot separate us from the love of God. In verse 37 in Romans 8, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And I pray today that you would have a fresh revelation of God's love, that you would have a new encounter with the love of God, because out of that love is going to come the life and the obedience and the submission and the yielding and the collaboration with God for your life. And out of that is going to come the blessings that you are desiring and believing and praying for, that God is just saying, just submit to me, just surrender to my will, and everything that you need will be added unto you. He's saying, just seek first my kingdom, just seek first my righteousness, and all that you need will be added, it will be given unto you. Seek, surrender, submit to my plan and to my purposes, and all that you need I will give you. You know, we don't want to receive anything outside of God's will. We don't want to receive or try to make things happen on our own and say, Lord, this is my choice. This is my decision, and I want you to bless what I've done. No, that's not God's best. God is saying, no, what I have for your life is more. It is exceedingly, it is abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work with you, within you. In other words, I have in my desire and in my plan to give you much more than what you're asking for. I have in my desire and my plan to give you much more than what you prayed for, because my blessings, when I add to your life, it increases you, it makes you rich, and it adds no sorrow, no regret. It adds no bad things, but only good things. But God is saying today that he wants us to allow him to add to our lives. not adding to our lives on our own. God is, you know, think about what you've been praying for, what you've been asking God for, and think about God doing greater than what you've even, your wildest imagination, your wildest dreams. God is wanting to exceed that, do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or think or imagine. And so I believe today God is just wanting us just to surrender and submit to Him. He says in Isaiah 55 that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Lord, give us your perspective today. Give us the heavenly perspective in our lives and in our situations, Lord. Give us a revelation of your love for us, God, that obeying you would not be just a drudgery. It wouldn't just be a duty, God, but it would be a pleasure, that it would be a joy as you, our bridegroom, that obeying you and following after your word and your precepts and your principles, Lord, would be an overflow of our heart. It would be an overflow of our devotion, God, that it would be an automatic response, that we wouldn't even have to think about it, that it would just flow from our relationship with you and our intimacy, our place of intimacy with you, that it would flow, God, our desire to please you, our desire to want to do your word and not just hear your word, our desire to want to walk out your precepts, not just to read about them in the Bible, but to actually apply them to our lives, to yield to them, to take heed to your word. And so I just thank you, God, that you are lifting us, elevating us to new heights, to new perspectives, God, of your kingdom, to a new place of intimacy. Elevate our heart, God. Elevate our mind. Elevate our thoughts, Lord, that we would think your thoughts, that we would speak your words, that our actions would be your actions and our habits would be your habits. Our lives would reflect your glory. Our lives would reflect your word and your desire for us. And so I thank you, God, for every person under the sound of my voice, that you would give them a new and a fresh experience and encounter with you right now, God, right where they are, that they would experience your liquid love flowing over their lives, in their hearts, in their minds, God, and in their bodies, Lord, to heal them, to deliver them, to set them free from the bondage of the enemy, from the lies of the pit of hell that has tried to blind their mind, that has tried to blind their heart, that has tried to put a veil over their eyes, their spiritual eyes, to keep them from beholding who you are in the beauty of your holiness, God, in the fullness of who you are and your glory, God. And so I just thank you, Lord, that your ways are higher than our ways, God. And today, Lord, as your children, God, it is our delight and our pleasure to submit to you, God. It is our delight and our pleasure to humble ourselves before you in the sight of God Almighty, to humble ourselves and to say, it's not about us, but it is about you. It's not about our kingdom, but it's about your kingdom. It's not about our will, but it's about your will being done in us. God, let us know and experience and realize, Lord God, that our life is fully realized in your life and that we are hidden in you, God. We are hidden. We have been crucified with you. It's not us that live, but it's you, Christ, that lives in us. And the life that we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you so much for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships. I am Pastor Star Williams, and tune in next week as we continue to grow in our love for God, as we continue to build healthy relationships. And I thank you for being a part today. God bless you. Success to you and success to the kingdom of God.